Good afternoon, actually good evening. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you had an enjoyable Christmas. And we're in the holiday season. One more week to go for the new year. And it's going to be awesome. I really do enjoy this time of the year. It's no wonder they say it's the most wonderful time of the year. Because it's the holiday season. That makes sense, right? Well, here I am in my backyard, and I was just telling Doug, unless I'm mistaken, it appears as though the sun is setting later, which I've noticed before in other years, but especially today. You know, I have my show Saturdays at 6 p.m., and it seemed like last Saturday the sun setting earlier than it did today, 5:43 p.m. Central Standard Time. I did a quick search. I couldn't find anything, but I'm going to look into that. But that's pretty typical. Even though we can expect some cold, and the coldest temperatures are usually in January and February, but if the sun is setting later and rising, I'm not sure about rising, but if it's setting later, then you would think that the winter would be going away, but it's not. Anyway, I'm going to take a drink. I've had a good day today. And I woke up this morning, did my usual workout. I've switched from working out on the rubber track on Lackland Air Force Base to doing the pavement, the asphalt. And the reason is because, and I've been studying this for years now, it's hard to tell exactly how the human body will respond to exercise, particular exercise, because it's very complex, you know. And it's a slow process, because what works one day might not work another day. And besides, one will work out, and then you have to wait until the next day before you try something new. But I think I can reasonably conclude that I don't want to work out on a rubber track anymore, unless I have cleats, which I don't plan on using. But really, rubber tracks are only for shoes that have cleats. If you use ordinary training shoes, then from my research, I found out that the rubber track doesn't allow rotation of the knees if you use training shoes. Of course, if you go around the curves, that puts an added stress on the joints, which I don't do. I haven't been doing. I've just been using the straightaway or sprints, 100 meter or 60 meter. And I've been doing that a lot. And I've also found out from my research and from experimentation that if you're going to sprint, which I've been doing a lot of for several years now, really the ultimate sprint is a short sprint, like 5 seconds, or like 30 meters. Once you go past 30 meters, then your body can start to lose form. You know, it can start to lose form. And another thing, too, when you're sprinting, in order to keep your form, it's important, very important, to breathe through your nose only. I've watched and studied the Olympic sprinters that are out there, to include the men, for example, Kristen Coleman, even Usain Bolt, you know, when he was back in his day, I couldn't really tell if he was breathing through his mouth. But the women especially, you notice with them, like Sherri-Ann Fraser-Pryce, the legend from Jamaica, Sha'Carri Richardson, and now Jennifer Wooden. She's the new champ, I think. She's the world champ, not the Olympic champ. Also, Sharika Jackson. If you look at them, when they sprint, they breathe through their nose. And the reason is because it allows the body to function more optimally, you know, and then you keep your form. but also the longer you sprint, the more you're going to lose form. Isn't that interesting? Now, you might be thinking, well, Blake usually talks about spirituality, but I've talked about this before in previous shows, and the spirituality stuff is still coming. Since I'm on that subject, let me say that I would really love to, in regard to spirituality, see an extraterrestrial in my lifetime. I'm 71 years old, 72 next year, and before I die, I would really love to see an extraterrestrial or a spacecraft, a flying saucer, or a UFO, because I know they're out there, and the only reason they're not making contact with us is because we're a violent species. Currently, we've got two wars going on, one in Ukraine. Thousands and thousands of people have died since the beginning, in February of 23, I think, or 22. Also, in the Gaza Strip, over 60, last time I looked, probably closer to 65 or 70,000 Palestinians have been killed. And is it any wonder they don't want to make contact with a species who's so violent and ferocious as human beings are, who don't really care? You know, it reminds me of a song by Three Dog Night called Easy to Be Hard. It goes like this. How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cold? Easy to be proud. Easy to say no. How can people have no feelings? How can they ignore their friends? Easy to be proud. Easy to say no. Especially people who care about strangers, who care about evil and social injustice. Do you only care about the bleeding crowd? How about a needy friend? Oh, we all need a friend. That was in my tenor voice. I can go lower than that. How can people be so heartless? Yeah, how can people be so heartless? How can they kill women and children over there? All in the name of revenge. Yes, we've got to get revenge back for October the 7th. So they never do it again. Let's just kill these people, mow them down. Who cares about their lives, or even if they're the guilty ones, the ones that are doing all the bad things, which are a minority, I can guarantee you. I'm not saying October 7th should be forgotten, just like 9/11, and I'm part Jewish myself, but I don't agree with killing people who are innocent. And we know a lot of those 65, 70,000 people were innocent, not the Hamas vicious, cold-blooded killer type. You know what I'm saying? Am I right or am I right? And so ETs don't want to make contact with us because we're too violent. Thank God, though, for the good people in this world, the lovers, the artists, the musicians, the family-oriented, generous people. We are the majority. The minority are the bullies, the tyrants, the dictators. I'm going to take a drink. They're the ones who are running roughshod, if you will, over everybody. In the meantime, our planet is in a limbo state of evolution. The next step and the evolution of the human species is contact with extraterrestrials. But we don't even know for sure that there is life out there. We don't have that concrete evidence yet. Yet they didn't believe that the world was round until Columbus and others gave them that concrete evidence by sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. And they didn't believe that the Earth was not at the center of the universe until Copernicus said, no, I'm telling you, the Earth is at its revolution, in its revolution around the sun, and our solar system is revolving around the Milky Way galaxy. We're not at the center of the universe. And you know what they did? The people back then, like you and me, they locked him up, thought he was crazy. Later on, it was proven that he was right. We're not at the center of the universe. And now, we don't know for sure there's life out there. Here on Earth, there's all kinds of life. There's a moth over there and a fly that I'm seeing. There's birds flying across the sky, all kinds of life, insects. There's over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes. Over 10,000 types of birds. Just imagine that. Over 10,000 types of different birds, different shapes, sizes, colors, different beaks, different eyes. Over 10,000 types of snakes. Over 9,000 types of amphibians, geckos, salamanders, and the like. Over 5,000 types of mammals. Well, of all that life here on Earth, happened by accident. Isn't it logical? Hello, I'm calling out to all the logical ones out there who pride themselves on their intelligence and their logic. Then life elsewhere in the universe could also have happened by accident, right? Does anybody not know that there's other planets out there? Raise your hand if you think there's no more planets besides in our solar system. I didn't think so. I'm going to take a drink. Yes, E.T., the hard truth is, my friends, that some of these extraterrestrial species, civilizations out there, have been in existence hundreds of millions of years, even before our solar system, possibly even our galaxy, was formed. So, they definitely existed before we were born. You know what I'm saying? Probably even before there were human beings here on planet Earth. Let me tell you a little secret, if you will. And believe it or not, but think about it, please. The first human beings on planet Earth came here about 1.5 million years ago from a planet in the Milky Way galaxy called Bacchaterini. They were a yellow race, Asian, in other words, and a black race. The yellow race settled in India, China, and Burma. And the black race settled in Australia, and later on, the Aborigine race would have came from them, if you know what I mean. And then later on, we had the blonde-haired, blue-eyed race that settled in Atlantis, and I think a similar race of human beings settled in the Pacific Ocean in Lemuria, otherwise known as Mu. And then everyone started migrating to the east and to the west and interbreeding. The Arab race was a mixture of the breeding between the yellow and black race. And so it began. Some people say that the first human beings were Africa, but I don't subscribe to that point of view. I believe my book, my Bible, if you will, my fountain of wonderful, inspirational messages called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. It is such an incredible book. If you get a chance to buy that book, my friends, I highly recommend it. It will answer a lot of your questions about human beings here on Earth, elsewhere around the universe. Also, it will talk about It talks about the four forces of the universe, which the Creator, the Supreme Creator, put into effect. All those billions of years ago at the center of the universe, when he, she, because the Creator is both male and female, we live in a universe of male and female, the Alpha, the Omega, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative, male and female. Sorry, burst your bubble, males, but guess what? Females are also part of this whole equation. You're only half. The female is the other half. And it's time they get their equal rights and stop being oppressed like they are currently, like they were before, and currently are in some parts of the world treated worse than animals. The mothers of our children, they should be lifted up on a pedestal as being co-creators with God. Having a baby grow inside their body is no easy or simple thing, my friends. It's a very complex process and procedure that needs to be respected and admired and revered. Imagine, man, if you had to go through with that, I guarantee you, you probably wish you were male again. It's not easy being a woman. So the Creator, both male and female, existed before the physical universe existed, when there was only darkness and silence. And then the Creator, being the wonderful Creator he, she is, who never was born or never was created his or herself, and there never will be an ending for the Creator either. Well, Goldie came out. I have to break away here in just a few seconds because our dog came out. He needs to use the facilities, if you know what I mean. So the Creator, by the power of his or her will, after he, she had imagined everything that would exist, every object, every relation, every association between objects, all that will be, all that there ever will be, by the power of his or her will. Hold on. Okay, I'll let the dog back in. Initiated the Big Bang, the most incredible explosion, or what's another way of putting it? Beginning of a tremendous sequence of events that would fulfill the Creator's will. Well, guess what? Why? Why did the Creator do it? Anybody? Growth. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? Me, like you probably, were a baby one time. And now we're an adult standing up. Think of the growth that we've achieved being a baby once and now an adult. I'm 71 years old. I have achieved a lot of growth. And I know you have too. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the Creator wants. We are microcosms, if you will, of the universe. All of our experiences will be assimilated eventually back to the Creator through a filter, all the good stuff, mainly the spirituality that we've experienced. That's why it's important as spirits here in the material world that we develop ourselves spiritually. There's no other reason why we're here. Now, you might think to be educated in schools, get a job and make money, raise children. Well, those are important, but that's not the main reason. The main reason you're here is to develop yourself spiritually and to increase the lamp of your soul. Because when you cross over to the afterlife, as a pure spirit, you're going to shine with a certain light. And the goal is to be shining brighter than when you were born into this world. That's how we grow as a spirit and a soul. We increase our light. Here on Earth, well, we earn degrees, but that's not what really matters. That's not what really matters. What matters is following your heart, being kind to people, our neighbors, loving them as ourselves, doing unto others as you would have done unto you. And that's how you make progress in your spiritual life. Because, really, the object of this school of learning here on planet Earth in the University of the Universe is to graduate with honors. Who is proud of their educational background and all the high grades you got? Well, I imagine most of you are. Whether you had a 4.0 GPA in high school or college or getting a master's degree or a PhD or a doctorate, I'm going to take a drink. You should be doing the same with your spirituality. And I gave you some examples of how to improve your spirituality, how to grow the light of your soul. You're doing it right now by listening to my radio show, which might be too much for some people. They might say, for example, that stuff is esoteric. You shouldn't be talking about that. But I submit to you, that's resistance to evolution. There's no other time for evolution. The time is now. It always has been now. You can give whatever you want to give and take whatever you want to take when it comes to your spiritual development. Don't hold anything back, because people are dying each day, and tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. You know that. So if you want to talk about whatever it is that you think is real and true, go for it. Now, before it's too late. Don't concern yourself with what's happening on television with the news and all that negativity. And you can't blame those people that report the news. They're only doing their jobs and getting paid. Or go to the movies and watch that fantasy violence and all the millions of dollars they're making as we go down the tubes, heading towards possible destruction of our race, because they're not developing themselves spiritually. Actually, I submit to you that it kind of combats that war-minded mentality, the war mongers, the war machine even, the violence. Can't stop your violence. These people can't stop their violence. They need to stop their violence. Why? So a family of loving children, mother and father, can grow up in peace and not have to worry about that violence. Good people. So many good people. I've seen them. I've seen them, my friends. They're out there. So many. There are so many wonderful people. Friendly, kind, helpful, generous, willing to help. Get a flat tire on the highway, people will pull over to help you. I've seen them. That's the majority of Americans. Don't be fooled. It's only a small minority of the bad guys. And there are some bad people out there. Don't be fooled that there aren't. But you know what? For the really bad people, there's a special place for them to be rehabilitated when that day comes, and it will come, guaranteed, when they leave. When they leave this life and go to the afterlife, if they've been bad, I mean really bad, just like here we put people in jail, well, God's got a jail too. And it's underneath the surface of the earth. And there's a tunnel that goes down there, just like a tunnel that goes to the sun. Because once you take out the physical senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and all you're going to see is with spirit eyes. And you won't see objects. I mean, you'll see them, but you can't, won't be able to touch them. You can't touch them. So all you see is a flaming disc over there in the distance, and then a tunnel created by that light shining through outer space all the way down here. And that's the tunnel the spirit world, but there's a tunnel also that goes down, down, down to the center of the earth, where there are cavernous areas filled with lava, fire, lakes of fire. And that is the domain of Archangel Lucifer, who is in charge of all the demons. And make no mistake about this, my friends, there are some evil, merciless, vicious, terrifying demons down there who know just how to treat those evil people that have killed people violently and suddenly indiscriminately. Yes, they know how to handle those people very well. Their spirit, when they become pure spirit, will be torn apart by these demons. And then, because it's the nature of the spirit, after they're torn apart, and believe me, they do feel pain. You do feel as a spirit. Then they'll be reconstructed, kind of rejuvenated as a spirit, and the process happens all over again. And they get to suffer that pain over and over and over again. And that's rehabilitation. So they won't do that kind of thing again in another lifetime. And when it's been determined that they've been sufficiently rejuvenated, rehabilitated, in other words, then they continue on with their soul's journey and make it back to that world of light and begin that soul process of learning over again what they probably already acquired. And they might have to be born again on a world like this, a Category 1 planet of the lowest evolutionary category, where there's a lot of war and killing and has been for hundreds of years, centuries. Does anybody want to come back to a planet like this? I don't think so. Don't take a drink. There are so many other planets out there, my friends. And when you get to heaven, shall we say, on that world of fire over there in the distance, when you are pure spirit, you can live in that fire because you're made of fire, kind of. Your spirit is made of light energy. Same thing, fire, light energy. Billions of electrons. And it's very beautiful there in heaven, on that world on fire over there in the distance, the spirit realm. Kind of like here on Earth, you've got trees, you've got mountains, you've got rivers and lakes and oceans, fields of grass, fields of wheat, roadways, chariots, angels. You remember, once you get there, there'll be a remembering of the angels. They're everywhere. They're the mother and father God's servers, if you will, servants. And they have very important missions, some of them do here on Earth, to help us. Every single human being has at least one guardian angel and one spirit guide. Everybody, even the homeless person on the corner who's sleeping on the street tonight and doesn't have a lot of money in his pocket, has a guardian angel. And some of these people, they volunteer to do these assignments in life because they learn from them, perhaps. They're paying back karmic debt for something they did in the previous life. Don't turn away from the beauty of their spirit inside that body and the beauty of their eyes. I've looked at people's eyes before, and some of them look like jewels, shining with a beauty. Some people have a lot of pain and suffering in their eyes, but just the way it is here on planet Earth. This is a very difficult school of learning, my friends. One of the most difficult in the universe. People volunteer to come here to go through this pain and suffering so that they can grow their souls. That's the quickest way to grow your light. Grow your light, my friends, here on planet Earth. Come to a school of learning like this. It's a loud noise over there. On planet Earth. But guess what? There are other categories of evolution that you can look forward to. So let's say you graduate with honors here on planet Earth. You've lived a good life. You raised children and you guided them towards the light instead of the darkness. You've been kind and generous and family-oriented. And you've enhanced your spiritual development. You've studied a lot of subjects relating to spirituality and the soul's evolution. And now you transition. You reach your expiration date. You pop out of your body, maybe through the top of the head or the chest. And now you're shining with a light. You come into the spirit world, you'll see everyone shining with a particular light, a particular intensity of light. When you get in front of the Mother and Father God in the throne room, you'll notice that their light is so bright that it's extremely hard to be in their presence. It washes over one like a hurricane force wind with his glory and brilliance. And unless one is sufficiently developed and you have to go away and come back and there's things you could do, the learning never stops there in heaven. There's activities all the time, lectures by famous people who have lived throughout the centuries. There's musical concerts. Oh, the music. From what I hear, it's very beautiful there all the time. Angels singing and playing instruments. The instrument of choice is the harp. I'm not being funny. It really is. Wait till you see King David. He is the ultimate praise master there in heaven. King David, he wears a crown. He's got red hair. Can I take a drink? And when you're there, and if someone gets all fired up and they feel that Holy Spirit feeling, and they'll take a break and say, let's praise the Creator for the miracle of all creation. And people get very passionate about praise in heaven, even bowing down and prostrating themselves and just saying, thank you, Creator. Why do I even exist? Thanks to you and everything, all the beauty of everywhere. How did you do it? How did you make something out of nothing? That's totally amazing. What can we do other than to praise you and worship you and thank you for the miracle of all creation, for the incredible intelligence that it takes to create everything, the trees I'm looking at, the houses up in the sky, the stars, the suns, the whole universe speaks your wonder and your glory, your omnipotence and your omniscience. What is there to do other than to praise you and thank you for our very existence? And that's what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to tell people of that. You know, the civilization that existed around the time Jesus was there was not very advanced. Technologically, definitely not. Spiritually, there were some who were older souls, so to speak, but he had to speak to them in parables, you know. And it's not that they wanted to kill him, although some did, but that wasn't the majority of the consensus, if you know what I mean. He had to die. He wanted to die because he had to be resurrected. And that was the ultimate thing that he would do that would preserve his legend, if you will, preserve his memory down throughout the centuries to where we are today. If there hadn't been a resurrection, first of all, a crucifixion, but second, a resurrection, and then later, the ascension, which wasn't so much as miraculous as the resurrection itself, but that hadn't happened, then the legend of Jesus would not have been as significant and lasted down throughout the centuries for the people of the world to believe in who he was and what he did and the miracles he performed. And let's not forget those miracles either. Some people might say, well, he died on the cross for our sins. Well, I don't believe in that exactly. Dying on the cross for our sins suggests that, well, you didn't even exist back then. How would he know that you were to come to be centuries down the road? Or for the people back then, if you want repentance for your sins, my friends, you have a direct relationship with your mother and father, God, who created your soul and your spirit. You don't need any intermediary. Jesus was an ascended master, just like the Buddha and Vishnu and Muhammad were. Enlightened people, yes. So I break away from Christianity in some regards, although I believe in a lot of what the Bible says. But you can't say that he died for our sins and then knowing that he was resurrected immediately after, so he didn't actually die. It all depends if you believe in Adam and Eve, which I don't. I just told you a little while ago that the first human beings on Earth were a black race and a yellow race, an Asian race. Adam and Eve were created by the people who made up some parts of the Bible to control the masses. They tied it in well together to make it appealing. And we're all entitled to our opinions. That's the bottom line. Personally, I don't believe in that. Why would a creator who is all-knowing, omniscient, and omnipotent allow Adam and Eve to take a bite of an apple from the tree of knowledge when he knew that they were going to do it, right? Because he's all-knowing. Why even tempt them and then not forgive them and banish them from the Garden of Eden? It does not make any sense to me. The better story is from the planet Bacchaterini, a black race and a yellow race came 1.5 million years ago. They were the first human beings on Earth. And then all these other civilizations in Atlantis and Lemuria, which went underneath the ocean when the Earth redid itself, if you will. What's the right word? Because every once in a while, like approximately 15,000 years ago, asteroids hit planet Earth. And if they're big enough, they can stop our planet from rotating on its axis. And when that happens, all heck breaks loose, earthquakes all over the planet, volcanoes exploding, spewing their ashes into the atmosphere, storms develop, wind speeds in excess of 300 miles an hour, blocking out the sunlight. It's very difficult for anyone to survive. And it reshapes itself. That's the word I was thinking of. Every so often. So, personally, I don't subscribe to the point of view of Adam and Eve. I believe some parts of the Bible, but not all parts. Going back to what I said about Jesus, he died on the cross, but he came back to life. And then he walked around for about 40 days, right? And then ascended up above the clouds. And to make a long story short, because I don't feel like going into the details right now, his spirit is there alongside the mother and father God and their beauty and their glory and their brilliance. His throne is next to theirs. How would you like a throne there in the throne room? Now, that is where the action is. Oh, my God. And those redeemed spirits and angels who are fortunate enough to be around the throne room, the mother and father God and Jesus who died on the cross, it is so much joy. There is so much joy and so much happiness and love and angels flying all over the place and praising the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe for the miracle of all creation. You see, the Mother and Father God are just simply co-creator gods who were like us at one time, living on planets throughout the universe, reincarnating on more evolved planets working their way up through that process of evolution until they achieved co-creator God status, and then were able to have their own solar system and own planets and their own spirit children. Because, my friends, just like some land here in Texas you might want to buy, well, guess what? Infinite space has enough space for you to have your own patch of space and build your own future there with your soulmate and create to your heart's desire. And that's what the Creator is all about. That was part of the plan. That, first of all, the first force is the force that created all the suns and the planets and the moons. The second force, all the plant and animal life. The third force, all the sentient life. All the different beings out there in the universe. Humanoid, mostly. Whether human being or gray-skinned or blue-skinned with different color eyes, different shaped eyes, different shaped ears, different heights and sizes. They're all out there. Thousands and thousands and thousands of different civilizations. And then there's the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, the Intergalactic Communities, Brotherhood and Sisterhood, just out there waiting for us. You're going to take a drink. Waiting for us to evolve to the point when we can be welcomed into the fold, when they can say to us, welcome into the intergalactic community, my friends. It's been a long time. But guess what? You're not alone in the universe. There are other planets that go through a similar process of evolution. They work their way up until they take their first steps into outer space, and then, depending on whether they're violent or not, because they don't want, the intergalactic community does not want war in outer space. Space is supposed to be a peaceful domain, and they strive to keep that way. If they sense that a civilization might take weapons of destruction into outer space, they will sabotage their spacecraft. They won't be allowed to do that because they are monitoring us. They are out there. Some have been given guardianship of our human race because we're all helping each other. We're all in this together. We are all parts of the whole, my friends. Just like if you take a huge crystal platter and break it, and it breaks into a million pieces, we're like one of those pieces. And you put it all together again, that's what the Creator did. With the fourth force of the universe, the Creator took an infinitesimal piece, a spark of her light. Because the Creator is a being of light, and so are our mother and father God. And you are too. You're a being of light. But that lamp of your soul, that little spark, lights up the lamp of your soul. And everybody, every human, every sentient being in the universe has that spark of the Creator's light. Light up their soul. And they're just like us, all those species out there. They also have their own spirit world. Some of them may live to be 20,000 years old, but then they transition too to the afterlife, and they have a afterlife where they, or let me rephrase that, they have a process like we do where they continue on to improve their soul's evolution, maybe become co-creator gods, maybe go back and help some species that need help. Anyway, I'm going to take a drink. How am I doing on time? Going back to heaven, because we came from heaven. We existed before we were born, my friends. We were a spirit, a pure spirit before we were born. And when you die, when we die, when we transition to the afterlife, we will become a pure spirit again. And the spirit just looks like the physical body in many ways. It's configuring. It alters too, depending on what you want. You can actually control some of the characteristics of what your spirit will look like. And it has many of the same characteristics, facial features. The thing is, though, it shines with a light, the light of your soul. And as I mentioned, depending on how evolved you are, will determine how your soul shines and how you shine as a spirit. Usually the spirit is either, the spirit is either translucent or transparent. In other words, you can see through it, or you can just see the light, which is usually consisting of all the colors of the rainbow. It's very beautiful. The spirit can fly. It can travel from A to B just by thinking about where you want to go. We live in a universe of thought. The universe is really one giant intelligent thought, thanks to the creator of the universe. Out there, if you had an encounter with the creator, or when you get to heaven, the mode of communication is telepathy. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going to take another drink. I hope you had a good Christmas. Just to, I did mention something in my last show last week about the Star of Bethlehem. Did you know that it stayed there for about 70 days, shining down the light on the manger where Jesus, the baby Jesus, was born? 70 days in one location. It couldn't have been a comet, or it couldn't have been a star. Heavenly bodies are constantly in motion, right? So logic dictates that it wasn't a heavenly body. It was an extraterrestrial probe that was rendered luminous to shine a light down on the manger. It could be seen from miles around. And that's how the people knew something very special had happened, because it was shining a light down in the manger. That's how they knew where to find the baby Jesus. But like I've said in other shows before, the baby Jesus would grow up and would leave the region with his brother and travel to China, Burma, and eventually wind up in Japan, where he would get married, have children, and die at a ripe old age of 90-some years old. He did not perform the miracles, because he was born into this world, and when you're born into the world, you go through the river of oblivion and have all the memories of your past life erased and all the universal knowledge that we have access to when we're pure spirits. And even if he studied among the Nagas, which were a very advanced civilization back then, for 100 years, he still wouldn't have been able to perform those miracles. So enter my brother Arioch, a soul that was living on the planet Thayuba. And a planet of a ninth degree, a category of ninth degree, a planet of the ninth degree of evolution, the highest, in other words, someone who had reached that pinnacle of success in his soul's training to live among a species of peaceful, loving, sentient beings in a world where everything looks like gold, kind of like that song, Fields of Gold, but colorful too, where the colors are more intense. You and I would not be able to withstand the colors of that planet. They are so strong and beautiful. Trees that grow up to about 600 feet into the sky, animals don't eat each other, oceans that are, and bodies of water that are pure and pristine and not polluted. And they have guardianship of some of the lower evolved planets. And all the way up from number one to number nine, you have different levels of evolution, depending on just how much you believe in your spiritual development here on planet Earth. It's possible you could be a soul like me, who is probably well-traveled throughout the universe and may have several or more past lives that we have lived. It's possible to have as many as 50 or 80 or even 200 past lives. And when we cross over to the afterlife, then we remember who we are. That access to universal knowledge comes back. And there'll be a remembering of who we were before we were born into this world. Because we're more than just a physical body, my friends, more than just a baby that was in the womb of a mother. Our spirit and our soul was in that baby. We entered our mother's womb at some point, usually around, from what I understand, I'm going to take a drink. Four or five months, although it's possible to enter a baby in the womb sometime after the heart starts beating or just before the baby is born, but typically 4 to 5 months. And did you know that you can look through your mother's eyes when you're a baby in the womb and you're aware of everything she's doing, all the food she's eating, floating there in liquid, breathing liquid, if you will. We all went through it. And then when we were born, we came out into the open air, and the doctor slapped us on the back, and we started breathing. Our lungs started working. But we don't remember that, do we? I can only remember when I was 2 years. That's the first time I can remember, as far back as I can remember, when I was 2 years old. How about you? I don't think there's any person, there might be an exception or two or some, who can remember back when they were babies, but we all went through it. And again, why? Because we're all fulfilling the plan of the Supreme Creator of the universe to achieve the growth that he, she desires. In a way, we're kind of like little co-creators. That's what we are. We're co-creators. We can't be the creator of the universe, but we can be like him, her. I saw a Family Guy. I watch the Family Guy sometimes. It's kind of funny. It makes me laugh. You know, it can be violent sometimes, but I saw one recently, a show I'd seen it before, where Brian and Stewie go up to see if they could find the North Pole. And as they're on their way up there, riding a snowmobile, getting closer, it runs out of gas, not surprisingly, and then they encounter a being that shows up that looks like the Aurora Borealis, and I've said this before, that's what the Creator looks like, although it's all different colors, not just green, a shimmering energy field, if you will, huge, immense. And like in The Family Guy, there was a head of some well-known actor in the Aurora Borealis that was talking to them and told them that there was a cabin over there that they could go to and spend the night there, and then they could continue their search for the North Pole afterwards. But that's what the Creator looks like, I think. Now, whether or not the Creator has a body, a full body besides a head, I don't know. That's something I'd like to find out. But the Creator of the universe is, indeed, according to Donna Rebido, who had a near-death experience when she drowned and her body was underneath the water and her lungs were filled with water, for 5-10 minutes, I think. She met the creator of the universe, and she said, the creator of the universe is not the mother and father God over there on the sun. Creator of the universe is, looks like an aurora borealis, but all the colors of the rainbow, a huge energy field, I mean, as big as a planet, if you will, with a voice on the inside, and maybe a head, too, just like in The Family Guy. Or remember the Wizard of Oz and the head that was on that screen with the pillars of fire next to it? Kind of like that, into that, in the middle of that energy field. And an omnipotent, omniscient being, like an electrical being, who started everything, created the Big Bang that is forming the physical universe still. The borders of outer space are increasing, expanding as we speak. The borders of infinite space is infinite, my friends. And the concept of infinity and eternity are difficult for us to comprehend, but suffice it to say, all thanks to the creator of the universe. And it's just completely awesome to think that you could be, we could be friends with the creator. And I have actually communicated, and I still do communicate with the creator, and you can too. All you have to do is have faith. If you need to go check that video on YouTube, Donna Rebido, when she drowned and she had that encounter, feel free to do so. Feel free to walk out in the backyard and look up into the evening sky and see all the suns out there, or stars, whatever you want to call them. And just say, Creator, are you real? Listen very closely. Give some praise to the Creator and say, thank you for my existence. You are awesome. That's what the Creator wants to hear. Praise is a form of love. You praise Jesus, you praise the Father God and the Mother God, and definitely praise the Creator of the universe. So here's a prayer. I've got 1 minute. Creator, thank you for everything. We don't know how you did it, how you created something out of nothing, but you're so worthy to be praised. Thank you for our existence. Thank you for our blessings. But help us not to worry or fear, to enjoy the ride. We'll wake up tomorrow morning and it'll be a brand new day. Thank you for this wonderful plan of half a day of daylight, half a day of darkness. We are spirits in the material world, and you are our mother and father. You are our everything. Thank you. We love you. Thank you for your love. You know everything. And we just love you. You're awesome. All right, everybody, that's it for me. I'll talk to you next week. Take care. Hope you have a great New Year's Eve celebration. And may God keep you safe. Amen. Bye-bye.